Let's begin. Okay, here we go, guys. Famous Rashi's. It's a very important shiur. Okay, famous Rashi's. Okay, here we go. Now, the Torah says in Pasuk Hey, "V'Yosef Hayah b'Mitzrayim." And Yosef, "V'Yosef Hayah b'Mitzrayim." And Yosef was in Mitzrayim. Of course, Yosef was in Mitzrayim. So, what does Rashi say? "Lodiacha tzikaso shel Yosef." Who Yosef? Haroe Ason Aviv. Who Yosef? Shayah b'Mitzrayim v'Nasim Melech. For Omid Bitsitko, the famous Rashi. He was the same Yosef. For Yosef Hayah b'Mitzrayim, the same Yosef. This is the most amazing thing. Yosef was alone in Mitzrayim. He got there when he was 17. And he remained at Tzaddik. This has never happened, anything like this, in Jewish history. After Avram started, so let's say Yaakov. Yaakov was 63 when he left home. He was 77 when he went to Laban's house. He was by himself. And he was 77. He was already a man, a tzaddik. Yosef was a kid. He was 17. And he went to Mitzrayim with no support system at all. He was alone in Mitzrayim in the most immoral country. Mitzrayim has a nickname. It's called Ervas Haaretz. It's called, which means translate the nakedness of the land. That's what that was the nickname of Mitzrayim, and he survived there as the same tzaddik. That's the godless of Yosef that the Torah is emphasizing. Who Yosef? Yosef is our model for staying strong even against great odds in an immoral environment. Next, the next pasuk: Bnei Yisrael paru vayishritzu vayirbu vayatzmu b'maod maod. Six words about having lots of kids. What does Rashi say? What does Rashi say? Six kids at a time. That was the nes that Hashem did. They had six kids at a time. And the Mefarshim add on, they were all healthy. They were healthy. Now, nowadays, if you have you have a lot of kids at one time, often they're small, they're sickly. Here they were healthy and robust. Six kids at a time. When Hashem's on your side, so these types of miracles happened. Then there's a world famous nitziv. You can't move without this nitziv. It says, "Bnei Yisrael paru vayishritzu vayirbu vayatzmu b'maod maod v'timolei haaretz osam." The whole country was full of them. Why was the whole country full of them? There were so many kids that they moved out of Goshen because they didn't want to be stuck in the city in the big apartment. They moved out to the suburbs. Next pasuk, now you'll see, "Vayakam melech chadash." That's when the tzara started. Correct. Ooh, 2 points. Spoilers. Quoting the book. What do you mean? Spoilers? That's the
you
best thing.
The
what do you mean? What do you mean? It's Sunday. You see, you've had 12 hours. What do you mean? You're behind already.
I'm more of a Friday.
Fine, anyway. This is a very important nitziv. The nitziv says that the tzaras began when we began assimilating. When we lived in Goshen, life was good. When we had so many kids, and we didn't want to stay stuck in Goshen, so we moved out to the suburbs. We lived amongst the non-Jews, and we started assimilating. This is it, the Nitziv. This is a famous Nitziv. He says it in a couple of places. People sometimes think, if we act like the Goyim, then they'll like us more. It's not true. If we act like Ovdei Hashem, then in the big picture, the Goyim will tend to respect us more. And you don't find a correlation that when you act more religious and act more Jewish, there's more assimilation. It's the opposite. There's more persecution. When we start assimilating, then there's more persecution. That's what happened here. The whole country's full of them. They moved out of Goshen, and then our job in life is to take care of ourselves, be Ovdei Hashem, try not to assimilate, be like Yosef. It's a beautiful flow here. When Yosef was saying that was good, but then things got, when all the brothers died out, they lacked the same connection to the previous generation, they began assimilating. This is a big deal. You have to, choosing where to live is a big deal. Choosing where to live is a big deal. Choosing whom to marry is a big deal. Very big deal. Who sets the religious tone in your home? Your wife. She's the one who's there more than you. Every home has a tone. Before anything happens, the house feels like something. So your wife will set the religious tone in the home. And then where you live is a huge deal also. Don't forget that. Okay, let's go on a little bit. We're not going to do everything. Okay. Next, Shifra and Pua. Who were Shifra and Pua? They were the Mialdos. Who was Shifra and Pua? What does Rashi say? Yocheved and Miriam. Now Yocheved and Miriam were Nevi'os. I think Miriam was a Nevi'ah. I don't think Yocheved was a Nevi'ah. They were the great Satchanios. And they're given nicknames. What's their nickname? Shifra and Pua. Why Shifra and Pua? What are the nicknames? So Rashi says it had to do with being a midwife. Shifra, Mishaperes es hayelad. When the baby's born, she smooths it out and makes it look nice.
Pua is the sound you make the...
Correct. Pua, to coo. Correct. To coo the child. That's what it says. Coos to the child. That's a good word. C-O-O-S. That's a good word for Scrabble. That's a word. C-O-O, the verb of coos. So what do you see from here? So Rav Shmuel Brzezovsky, Zatzal, great gadol, he's known for Lumbus. He said, you have people, a Nevi'ah, biggest Satkanios, and they're introduced with nicknames having to do with having children. This shows you in Yahadus the importance we place on children, being a mother. That you could be a Navi, you could be a Navi, but the nickname we give you, the name the Torah gives you, the first name here is the name of having to do with having children. So that's a woman's major role, being a mother. When you're looking for a wife, this is a big thing to think about. Somebody who wants to be traditional. That means she has a big focus on being a mother. There's a big deal, building a home. In the modern world, it's often true our wives have to work. The brainwashing joke is that you have to have at least one parnasa in the family. Get it?
Mm-hmm.
That's a brainwashing joke for the two married guys in Kollel. Get it? Mm-hmm. One parnasa in the family? Okay. But in the world that we're from, we need two parnasas in the family. Okay, it's a women work. But what is your focus? Is your focus your home and your family, and you're also working, or is your focus your job? That's a huge deal. And for women, it has to be your focus is your home and your family, and also you have a job. Very, very important. Okay, so that's that. Shifra and Pua. Next. This is interesting. So Hashem gave them a reward. You want to open the windows again? Window a little bit? Thank you. Oh, good, good. Hashem gave them reward. What was the reward? What does the pasuk say? Vayas lehem batim, the end of Perek Aleph. Hashem made houses for them. What does that mean? Houses? So what does Rashi say? The houses of Kohen, Levi, and Malachim. That Shifra and Pua became the great-great-grandmothers of Kohanim and Levim. So how did that work? So the Levim came from Miriam. They were the mothers of who? Yocheved was the mother of?
Moshe and Aaron.
So Kohen and Levi came from Yocheved. Right? So they got, and they got Malchus. Not everyone knows this. The Gemara says that Kalev later married Miriam. Rashi refers to the Gemara in Maseches Sota Daf Yud Aleph, and their descendants ended up being the father of David HaMelech. So although Miriam was from Shevet Levi, so David HaMelech goes back to who? Goes back to Kalev, Shevet Yehuda, and on the great great grandmother's side, it goes back to Miriam. It's an interesting chiddush. So Miriam. Kalev, Chazal say there's a pasuk in Divrei Hayamim that Chazal interpret that Kalev married Miriam, and they were and their kids, and one of their kids ended up being the great 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 grandfather of David HaMelech. So that's interesting. So Yocheved and Miriam have everything: Kohen, Levi, and Malchus. So when you're on Hashem's side, you get a nice reward. That's the message. When you're on Hashem's side, you get a nice reward. Next, Perek Beis pasuk Vav. So Moshe's in the Nile River, and the Bas Paro comes down, and what does it say? It says Batiftach, and she sees the Yelid, Batireu es Hayelid. She saw Batireu. She sees the kid. Okay, Rashi quotes the baby. Rashi quotes a pshat. What did she see? She saw the Shechina, Rasa Imo, Shechina, with Moshe. Wow. So why is this interesting? So apparently Bas Paro had a sensitivity to see the Shechina. She wasn't Jewish.
Jewish
and Shem. Well, so apparently Bas Paro had some sort of good neshama, because she was able to notice the Shechina next to Moshe. And later, this is a big deal, later, what's Moshe's name? What's Moshe's name?
Moshe.
Moshe. Why is it called Moshe? Why is it called Moshe? What does the pasuk say? That's creative. Hashem's name backwards. That's not the real reason. By the way, the Gematria of Moshe. Gematria of Moshe, by the way. Not a bad. No, no. Whoa. That's Moshe Rabbeinu. By the way. Oh, wait. Let that sink in. Don't be smiling now. He's having a game today. Moshe Rabbeinu is 613. Is that true? It is. Moshe Rabbeinu is 613. 598. It is.
Imagine my shot.
Better be
345.
Rabbeinu was Reish 545, 547, 550. Yeah, 613. So Moshe Rabbeinu is 613. So that's not bad. That's a home run. Dobie's happy he's here today. Moshe 345. Gematria of Lag Baomer. Exact. Lag 33 Baomer. 345. Which is the same. And the Sfarim say that Rav Shimon Bar Yochai was a Gilgul. He had the neshama of Moshe Rabbeinu because he brought down the Torah Hamishnah. That's going to be in my that's going to be in my Vayikra book. Bezat Hashem. It didn't make it into the book on Sfiras Omer, but I wasn't finished with it then. That's a nice idea. So Moshe, anyway, and that's a deep idea. Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. Now here we go. Why is he called Moshe? What does pasuk say? Kimin Hamayim Mishisir, because I drew him out of the water. So Moshe was drawn out of the water. So what should his name have been? Based on grammar, what should his name have been? Mashui, the one who was drawn. This is a good vort. Rav Hirsch says this, and others say it before Rav Hirsch. This is a very good vort. You ready for this? He should have been called Mashui. Why is it called Moshe? So Rav Hirsch says that Bas Paro was a good foster mother, and she trained Moshe to have good midos. That's what he says. That Moshe should be an active savior. Just like I saved you, you should save others. Moshe is active. Get out there and save others. Mashui is passive, the one who was saved. So Bas Paro said to Moshe, you were saved, but I'm calling you Moshe, the active savior. You should save others and use your talents to help others. And Rav Hirsch says she was a good foster mother. So I'm connecting that Rav Hirsch to this Rashi. That Bas Paro was able to...
Does that happen?
What?
She was Bas Paro.
Okay. We have to check in the Midrashim about her background. I think it says she was... Doesn't it say she was coming down to wash herself away from Avodah Zarah? Doesn't that say that? I think it says that. I have to check it out. Bas Paro was special, but she... I don't know. It happened. I mean, but... Time out. What's the answer to your question? Hashem worked it out that the woman who's going to... That's the answer. The woman who's going to save Moshe wasn't some Russia, Marshas, you know, whatever, guy. It was a Bas Paro who had a better neshama, who could see the Shechina, and gave him the good foster. That's what he says. What?
Rachel and Leah from Lavan.
There's a pshat about that. There's a pshat. I heard a pshat from Avigdor Miller. That's all. I wonder if it's based on a medrash. He said, "How'd they get so great?" This is what he said. How'd they get so great? How'd they Rachel? Because Lavan was a relative of Yaakov, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. They were relatives, you know. Right? So when people came from visiting Yitzchak, so Lavan wanted the money. He said, so what happened by Yitzchak? Tell me what happened. You know, he was looking for the money. So they would tell stories in the house, what happened at Yitzchak's house. And the little girls, Rachel, are sitting there listening. And they're hearing stories of tzaddikim. It's a nice pshat. I hope it's based on a medrash. I think he didn't quote a medrash, but that's a nice pshat. That your friends are visiting. They're bringing over, you know, Lavan wants the money stuff. He's talking business. Oh, I was at his house. He had four guests over. Oh, you should have seen what he did. He gave them so much food. Oh, yeah, where's the money? And they made brachos. They talked about God. Oh, yeah, where's the money? Talked about God all the time. And all these stories, the little girls sitting there. That's a nice shot. So Victor Miller says that he thinks it was the travelers who brought the culture, the midos of Avraham and Yitzchak into Lavan's home. That's a nice shot. I want to see if he has a source, another better. I mean, he's his own source. He can say what he wants, but I wonder if there's an earlier source. Okay. We'll do a little more. Okay. Next. Achain no. Oh yeah, one more, sorry. So I just saw this in a sefer recently. Somebody wrote a sefer comparing all the ways Moshe's life was parallel to Shimon Bar Yochai's life. Or Shimon Bar Yochai's parallel to Moshe. So one of them was, they both reached their greatness when they were basically alone. Moshe Bar Yochai was in the cave so many years with his son, alone. And Moshe Rabbeinu, Rashi says in Perek Beis, Pasuk, Tezvav, what happened to Moshe? Moshe ran away, right? Moshe ran, he was afraid of being caught by, he ran away. Moshe spent around 60 years by himself. Talk about his bodhidus. Talk about his bodhidus. 60 years of his, that's how he became Moshe Rabbeinu. So, Dobie, when you're 80, come back. When you're 80, come on back. That was a joke.
They all had insurance.
Right. Oh, yes, that's true. That's true. I think people say that. One second. Chazal say that of us were shepherds. Chazal say that Moshe was a shepherd and David was a shepherd. Because if you want to be a leader has to show proper chesed and midos for a flock, then that becomes a leader to lead B'nai Yisrael. Anyway, so Moshe and Rav Shimon Bar Yochai both spent a lot of time alone, and that's how they developed into their, part of how they developed into their greatness. Okay. Next. Okay, this is just, we'll do two more, because there's too much, there's a lot here. We'll do two more, then we'll stop, and we'll have to, because it's later. Okay. Perakim Pasuk Aleph. Moshe Yiroa Son Yisro, Vayenhagas Hatzon Achar HaMidbar. What does Achar HaMidbar mean? Far into the wilderness, like way out in the Gezel. Why did he do that? What does Rashi say? Lisrachik Min HaGezel. To be away from Gezel. In other words, he didn't want to graze where people lived. He went way out in the middle of nowhere where the grass was definitely hefker. Why? Shulayir bestows achimar to avoid Gezel. This is a big deal. This is a very, very big deal. Sadiqim, they daven for hours and they learn all the time. But Sadiqim care completely, 100%, 1,000% on the nitty gritty of benadam lechaveiro, hurting somebody else and stealing. It has to go together. You can't be a tzaddik who davens a 20-minute Shmoneh Esrei, and you're always learning, and you say brachos, you know, whatever. But when it comes to cutting corners, you know, on taxes, on stealing, yeah, you'll do this, you'll do that. So Moshe Rabbeinu, the Torah is emphasizing the, and then what happens next? Then he gets the nevuah at the Sneh. So the Torah is emphasizing it's not enough to be a tzaddik who davens all the time, who can use Hashem Hashem. You have to be a tzaddik in the basics of interpersonal relationships, how you treat others, avoiding gezel. It's a package deal. It's a huge deal. Rav Nevensal smiles at who?
Everyone.
Correct, right answer, everyone. Because that makes people feel good. Rav Nevensal makes everyone who meets feel good. How's that? Try that for 100 for next 80 years. Every person he meets, he makes they feel better because he smiles at them with a big smile when you come and see him. It's unbelievable. So this is a big deal. And then Moshe gets the nevuah of the Sneh. It's a very nice shot. That's what Rashi's emphasizing to us. Okay. We'll do the last one and then we'll stop. Okay. In Pasuk Gimel. So Moshe sees the burning bush. Now read what does the Pasuk say? So Moshe by Yar, he sees the bush and it's burning and it's not getting consumed. Pasuk says, Yomer Moshe, Asura Navere, let me turn to look. As Hamara HaGadol said, why isn't it getting consumed? Vayar Hashem Kisar Liros, Hashem saw Moshe turn to look. Vayikrei Lev, and he called out to him. So what does the Pasuk imply?
Moshe wasn't looking.
Right, and then he turned to look.
Yeah.
So what does the Pasuk imply?
Because he looked.
In other words, Moshe's walking along with his flock away from the Gezel, and he sees a burning bush. And he's looking at it, that's interesting. Now, Moshe had a choice now. What was his choice? Keep on going. Or go, oh, that's weird. So Moshe turned to look. So because he turned to look, and then he got the Nevuah. So the Medrash points out, it's Pashat in the Chumash. that Moshe was Zoche to get the Nevuah and become the leader because he turned to look. So what's such a big deal by turning to look? So I heard two shots about this.
Recognize the show.
In what way?
That he saw something was being supernaturally done and...
Okay, we'll get there. So that's the second shot. That's Rav Tengler, Shlita's shot. So one shot I heard from Rav Lichtenstein, Zatzal, is that if you're a leader has to make decisions and do what's best for the people, but the first job of a leader is to notice problems, to notice things. Hey, that's off. Hey, what's going on? How come this guy looks sad? What's bothering him? Hey, how come this guy wasn't here yesterday? What's going on? Why is it? A leader has to be aware of what's going on. So the Medrash is teaching us that when Moshe saw something different, he didn't just ignore it. He said, whoa, then you can be a good leader. Because before a leader can solve problems, you have to know what the problems are. You have to have your eyes open. It's a nice shot. That's a nice shot that Moshe noticed problems. He noticed things that were different. He turned to look at Rav Lichtenstein. Rav Tengler said as follows. Rav Tengler, in YU. So you should know there's something called Torah Umada. It's a big thing in Torah Umada. There are different ways of explaining. So Rav Tengler's definition of Torah Umada is Torah and science. Torah and science. Torah and science is kosher. Other definitions of Torah Umada, then you get into different discussions that you can have if you want a different time. Rav Tengler says, Hashem reveals himself to the world in two ways. One is with the Torah, and one is through
natural
through
ways.
Nature. Through nature. We talk about it all the time. You know, the orange peel. The orange peel, where is it orange?
Peels.
On the outside. What's on the inside?
White.
A dull white. The inside of the orange peel. Pre-cut. That's interesting. Pre-cut. It's a pre-cut. Why is the inside white? Because once you open it, you're eating it already.
Perfect.
It's beautiful. And not only that, it's held in like that covering that holds the juice in. It's easy to bite into.
And it tastes.
And it's good for you.
Good for you, and also, but it holds the juice in. But it's easy to bite through. In other words, it's hard to bite through, you know, a thick leather. It's easy to bite through. Anyway, that's going to be, I think we'll talk about that on Tuesday, maybe. Listen to this. He says, so Rav Tengler says, when you learn science and see the Yad Hashem, so you can use science to get closer to Hashem. That's his shita. Learn science. He has a famous line. Be an observant Jew. Observe the world around you and get closer to Hashem from it. That's a good line. Be an observant Jew. Observe the world around you and get closer to Hashem. He has good lines. So he said, this is the pshat. This is his pshat. Moshe saw something weird in nature. And he says, you know, I have a connection with Hashem. I talk to Hashem. I dive into Hashem. And I see Hashem in nature. Look at this. What's going on? Oh my gosh. What's going on over there? Moshe saw something strange in nature. So here's my chance to go see greater, something from Hashem here. This is from Hashem. Not burning. Why is it not burning? What's going on over there with that bush? And then Hashem says to Moshe, you try to find me with Nevuah and through nature, you're my guy. And he calls out to him from the snap. That's Rav Tengler's pshat. That's what he says. Okay, these are two pshatim. There's a lot more to do on the parsha, but for that we'll do for now. Yes. Okay, let's continue. So the Torah tells us towards the end of Perek Beis, Vayomas Melech Mitzrayim, he died. Vayonchu b'nei Yisrael min ha'avodah, b'nei Yisrael groaned because of the tzaras. So Rashi here quotes that when it says he died, nitztara, he had tzaras. And the only way he could get relief from the terrible itching and pain of the tzaras was from the blood of the Jewish children. Vayashochi tinokos Yisrael v'rochetz b'damam. He would bathe in the blood of the Jewish children that he murdered. What's the pshat? So the Mefarshei Rashi explain that the Torah says that Bnei Yisrael groaned after Paro died. Well, Paro was bothering them. He was bad. He was a Rasha. So why should they groan after he died? So Rashi's explaining, no, he didn't really die. It was tzaras. It was this type of death, which was, of course, horrifically bad for the Jewish people. And that's the Pashat pshat of Rashi, why he takes the pshat away from the simple pshat of death and has it as tzaras. Okay. Next, the middle of Perek Gimel, there's a famous pasuk, which the Chinuch and others quote. Moshe says, what will be the schus that Bnei Yisrael will have to leave Mitzrayim? And Hashem says, Behotziacho asami Mitzrayim tatuna olkim al harazeh. When you take them out of Mitzrayim, they will serve me on this mountain. Hashem is telling Moshe Rabbeinu that it's also from Kabbalah's Torah, which Bnei Yisrael will have, which will allow them, which rather leave Mitzrayim. The whole purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim was to get them out on Torah. The direct goal of Yetzias Mitzrayim was Matan Torah on Har Sinai. That's what the pasuk is saying, that they're going to receive the Torah. Rashi says, Sha'alta mazachus yesh li Yisrael, what's the schus, yetz Mitzrayim? Rashi says, Dover gadol yesh li altsazu. Hare asidim v'kabal ha-Torah al-harazeh. They're going to receive the Torah. That's schus. This is the purpose, the goal of Yetzias Mitzrayim was Matan Torah on Har Sinai. Okay. Later in Perek Gimel, Hashem is giving Moshe his foreshadowing of what's going to happen later. And he says, I'm going to punish the Mitzrayim, and they're going to send you out. And when they send you out, the Jewish people will have money and possessions. How? The pasuk says, V'shoa le'isha mishachenta u'migara espesa k'lechas v'chesel v'smolos. And each woman will request from her neighbor silver vessels, gold vessels, etc. And they'll take them. It's interesting, it says the word shala. It really means to borrow. Now we know they weren't really borrowing. They were going to keep this money. The Mepharshim discussed why it was allowed to do this. Bnei Israel deserved the money. But still, it's interesting that the word shala is used, which normally means borrowing. So I saw Rav Frand Shlita in his Sefer on the parasha quotes from an earlier Achron that says the following idea. In Yahadus, our view is that our money is not our own. Hashem, He's the master of the world. He owns everything. So when a person has money, he should realize that in a sense, the money is borrowed from Hashem. It's not really his. Hashem is giving us distribution rights over the money. So even though Bnei Yisrael may have deserved the money, this is the first time the Jewish people as a nation are going to be owning something as a nation. The whole nation is going to have the same experience of owning money. And Hashem wanted that this initial experience should be she'ela, borrowing. This sets the tone for all future ownership of money, that we recognize it's not really our own. Just like leaving Mitzrayim, we borrowed it from the Mitzrayim. In general, in life, we are in a sense borrowing the money from Hashem. It's a very deep idea. Next, Moshe says to Hashem in the beginning of Perek Daled, Henyol aminu li, they're not going to believe me. Now that was Lashon Hara against Bnei Yisrael. So Hashem gives Moshe two signs that he spoke Lashon Hara. Number one, he says, throw down your staff. Ahilu nachash. It became a nachash, and Moshe was scared. Why a nachash? Rashi says, Ramaz lo shesiper Lashon Hara al Yisrael. When he said, lo yaminu lo. He adopted the craft of the snake. The snake spoke Lashon Hara against Hashem. And Moshe was following in the snake's footsteps, speaking more Lashon Hara. The Chafetz Chaim quotes this in his beginning. As part of his introduction to the Sefer Chafetz Chaim, that the first sin, really, of the snake, was a sin of Lashon Hara, and we see, he says, that Chazal view it as a sin of Lashon Hara from here. When Moshe Rabbeinu received Tzaras, when the stick turned into a snake, that was a symbol of the snake, of Moshe speaking Lashon Hara. And the next siman also, Moshe's hand became a tzaraz kashalik, he had tzaraz. Rashi says, Hilkau b'tzaraz k'moshi lokach loksa mirim al Lashon Hara. Tzaraz is the chait, is the punishment that is associated with the chait of Lashon Hara. So here again, the other sign, the other punishment that Moshe received was also for Lashon Hara. And tzaraz is what we see for Lashon Hara. So Moshe Rabbeinu received two punishments in a sense. For speaking ill of Bnei Yisrael, we should be careful about that. And both punishments related to Lashon Hara. Moshe is concerned that maybe Aaron won't be happy that Moshe received the job. And Hashem says, no. Aaron Achicha Yadati Ki Deber Deber Hu. He'll say he'll be happy when he sees you in his heart. So Rashi emphasizes this. Not like you think, Moshe, that he'll resent you. No. He'll be happy that you achieve greatness. And from this heartfelt rejoicing, the ornament of the Choshen, Hanosan Aleh, that's on his heart. Aaron's heart was good. He was happy for Moshe, and therefore he was zocha midi k'neged midi for a kli, for an ornament, a clothing in the base of Mikdash that was over his heart. This is a big deal. Another Jew is successful, son, we should be happy and not resentful and not jealous. This applies in all areas of life. It applies in learning too. Rav Nevetzal Shlita likes to point out that the tefillah that we say before we start learning, we ask Hashem that I say I should not make a mistake in learning, and my friend should not make a mistake either. My friend should not make a mistake either. Very interesting. In my tefillah for my learning, we emphasize that I want my friend to succeed as well. This is the Torah way. The goal is Kvod Shemayim. The goal is better service of Hashem. Whether it's me or somebody else, it's the same goal. And that's why I should be happy when my friend is successful. Oh. Next, in Perek Dalet Pasuk Kaf, Moshe, Vayikach Moshe as Ishto, as Banav, and he put them al Hachamor, on the donkey. It's the Heheidiyah, apparently the known special donkey. What's special about this donkey? So Rashi says, the famous Rashi, Chamor HaMayuchad, it was a special donkey because he used the definite article, the Hey. Rashi says, "Hu achamor shechavash Avram lakedes Yitzchak, hu shasid melech hamashiach legalus alav." Shenemar ani baruch ba'al chamor. Wow. This was the chamor that Avram used to carry everything to Kedes Yitzchak, and this is the chamor which will be used by Melech Hamashiach. It's the same chamor. What's the message of this Rashi? The message of this Rashi, Marabayim point out, Jewish history is one long continuum. There's a plan from the beginning to the middle till the end. And the Akedas Yitzchak of Avram Avinu, the tremendous sacrifice, which helped make Avram who he was, which of course helped make the Jewish people what we are, that led to Mitzrayim and Tietzias Mitzrayim, and that's Moshe Rabbeinu. And that ultimately leads up to Mashiach, from Mitzrayim to Mashiach. This chamor represents the Masorah, the history of the Jewish people. It's the same chamor. It's all one big continuum. Every piece of history links into the next one and into the previous one. That's the message of this Rashi. The continuum of Jewish history from the beginning, Akedah Sitzlak, all the way until Yemos HaMashiach. Perikei Pasuk Yitalad, Vayuku Shotrei B'nei Yisrael. The guards of the Jewish people, the guards were beaten. These were the Jewish guards. Why were the Jewish guards beaten? So Rashi explains that the Egyptian overseers of the guards had given them a quota. And when the Jewish people weren't reaching them, so the Jewish guards were supposed to pressure and force them. But they didn't want to. They didn't want to cause too much tzaras to the Jewish people that they had already. So the Mitzrim overseers would punish the Jewish guards and lash them. Oh, Rashi says, "Lefichach zochu osam hashotim leo Sanhedrin." They became the Sanhedrin in the future. When the Torah says in Bamidbar, "Esfali shivim zekanim," takes Mizikne Yisrael, takes 70 of the Jewish elders. These should be the ones. May Osan from those sheyadata hatova shas Mitzrayim. They did the good in Mitzrayim. They deserve this now. It's a mida keneged mida. You find something here interesting. That they were shared the burden of the Jewish people, and their reward, this is amazing, wasn't a gashmias reward. It was even more than a ruchnias reward. They became tamid chachamim. Hashem gave them as a matana to become members of the Sanhedrin. Very, very powerful idea. The zechus of being no save all the Jewish people, sharing the pain of another Jew, here was taking the pain for them and not pressuring them. And they earned a tremendous, tremendous zechus. Okay.